Official detective, dedicated to the men who guard your safety and protect your home, your police department. Now, official detective.
Lieutenant John Hogarth, headquarters. About a month ago, a wealthy widow from Oklahoma married a man named Anthony Fowler. Headed for a honeymoon in Europe, the newlyweds, Jenny and Tony Fowler, stopped off in this city and took a room at the St. Elmo Hotel. They spent the evening at the theater and returned to their hotel room shortly after 11 o'clock.
Oh, thank you, Tony, darling. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, but let's not take it so seriously. After all, a young married couple should be gay.
A young married couple? Who are you trying to kid, Jenny?
That expression on your face. It's as though you hated me.
Oh, no, no, Jenny, I don't hate you. I don't feel any way at all about you. How could I? Good Lord, you're 25 years older than I am.
Tony, stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
Now, you hear that? You're disturbing the man in the next room. For heaven's sake, keep your voice down.
Listen, darling. I love you. I forgive you for the horrible thing you just said to me.
Now, wait a minute. For heaven's sake, have a glass of water.
Thank
Here.
You. Thank you, Tony. When we get to Europe, we'll never mention this. I think you must be very tired.
And get Europe out of your mind. I'm not going.
Not going on our honeymoon?
Honeymoon? Oh, don't be ridiculous. You might as well get it straight, Jenny. I only married you for your money.
Tony!
Oh, but now look what you've done.
I've dropped the water glass. I'm sorry. I better take it up off the floor. You might cut your foot.
Don't do that with your bare hands. You'll cut yourself.
Is that what you really want, Tony? Is money the only thing you want?
That's it. I guess it's plain by this time that I'm pretty much of a louse, huh? Well, you're right, Jenny, I am. I always have been.
What do you want me to do?
Divorce me, of course. And make a nice, fat financial settlement.
There'll be no divorce, Tony. That isn't the way our marriage is going to end.
Oh, Jenny, stop that. Now, look, you've cut your hand. You've got blood all over your blouse.
Oh, that's all right. I'd better put this broken glass in the wastebasket.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, go into the bathroom and clean up. You look terrible.
Yes, I guess I do. I'm sorry. Tony.
Yeah, what?
I meant what I said. Our marriage isn't going to end in divorce.
Hey, Lieutenant, how's for the all-night coffee joint before you head home?
Good idea, Alan. As the commuter says to his wife, I had a hard day at the office.
You and me both. I'll lock the file. Huh?
Lieutenant Hogarth. Oh? Which hotel? Was it a shooting? Oh. Yes, the blunt instrument always makes it tougher. Listen, nobody's to leave the hotel till further notice. Got that? Yes, we'll see you. Leaving right away.
Well, Lieutenant?
A murder at the St. Elmo Hotel.
In the hotel room, Hogarth and Allen are continuing their investigation of the murder of Tony Fowler. The body has just been taken from the room, and the detectives are questioning Tony's widow.
Now, Mrs. Fowler, will you tell us exactly what happened here?
I'll do my best, Lieutenant. We just come in from the theater, my husband and I. We talked for a few minutes, and then I started to get ready for bed. I went into the bathroom to bathe and wash out a few things.
Now, while you were in there, did you hear any sounds from this room?
No, sir. You see, the water was running most of the time, so I couldn't have heard.
How long were you in there, Mrs. Fowler?
I'm not sure. 20 minutes, perhaps.
And when you opened the door and came out?
I was in my nightdress and negligee. I saw my husband lying there on the floor.
Take your time.
It was his head that was so horrible. What was it? What was he struck with?
Something heavy and blunt. We haven't found the weapon, but we think it was one of the bedside lamps.
Yes. There were two lamps in here.
So the housekeeper told us. They were a matched pair, heavy metal base with a glass column going up to the bulb.
By the way, we noticed that bandage on your right hand. What happened?
Bandage? Oh, I poured myself some water and accidentally knocked the glass off the table. It shattered on the floor, and when I was picking up the pieces, I cut myself.
And you threw the pieces in this wastebasket?
Yes.
We wondered how this glass got in here.
Well, let's get back to your story, Mrs. Fowler. You came out of the bathroom and saw the body. Then what?
I'm not sure, but I remember screaming, and then a man came running in. He said he was a guest in the adjoining room. He picked up the telephone and told the operator.
How did this man from the next room get in here?
Well, I don't know. He just opened the door, that's all. It must have been unlocked.
If the killer's prints were on the knob, this guy certainly ruined them.
Now, Mrs. Fowler, as you know, the story of your marriage has been in newspapers all over the country. It was considered news for many reasons. Your social prominence, your great wealth, and the rumor that you took a great deal of cash with you on your wedding trip. Is that true? Did you bring a lot of cash?
Of course.
How much?
$175,000.
What? You had all that in cash?
Yes, Sergeant.
Well, that much money is a strong motive for murder, Mrs. Fowler.
I know, but it wasn't stolen. I made sure of that before you came. It's in a suitcase. Here, in the closet.
Here, let me get that, huh?
Oh, thank you. You may open it if you like.
Yeah, I'd like to see that much money. Holy Hannah. Is this $175,000?
Yes, in thousands, hundreds, and some smaller denominations.
I'm going to have this suitcase put in the hotel vault, Mrs. Fowler.
Very well.
There's another reason why this marriage of yours was considered news. The fact that you were 25 years older than your husband.
That didn't affect our happiness at all. Tony loved me.
And you had no differences? No spats or arguments?
Why, of course not, Lieutenant. Tony worshipped me.
Well, I'm sorry to have upset you. Alan, have Mrs. Fowler move to another room on this floor. I'm sure she'd be more comfortable.
Okay. What about this money?
We'll have to put it in the vault right away.
Well, the motive certainly wasn't robbery, or this suitcase full of dough would be gone.
Could have been robbery. The killer might have gotten scared away before he found the suitcase.
Maybe so.
As soon as we get a chance, I want to question that man in the next room.
Yeah, who is it?
Police officers.
Look, I'm sleeping now. Come back in the morning.
That'll be too late. We're investigating the murder in the room next to yours. Come on, open up.
Okay, wait a second.
Say, I thought you said you were sleeping. How come you got your bag packed and you're wearing your hat and coat, huh?
Okay, so you caught me in a tiny lie.
Say, turn around. I want to get the full light on your face.
I see the trouble, Lieutenant. You know this puss all right.
I thought so. Mickey Potts.
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, fill me in, will you, Lieutenant?
Mickey Potts is an old-time thief, Alan. You wouldn't remember him. Where were you going in such a hurry, Potts?
Anywhere, to get away from here. With my record, I knew you cops would be asking me a million questions.
That's right. You got any answers ready?
One's all I need. I don't know who brained that guy in the next room.
Well, tell us what you do know.
Okay. I hear the old dame let out a scream, and then she screams again, and I run in like a dope. Her door's unlocked. I see the stiff on the floor. So I pick up the phone and holler murder. Well, that's the whole story. Go ahead, send me up for life.
Now don't be impatient. Maybe that'll happen later. Now tell me this. Did you hear anything in there before Mrs. Fowler screamed?
Yeah, I hear somebody sloshing around the bathroom for a long time.
And before that?
Well, before that I hear the two of them having an argument.
What about?
How do I know? Who listens? Anyways, I knock on the wall to shut them up. Hey, what's your pal looking for?
Don't get upset, Mickey. I'm just having a look around your room to see if you left anything.
Oh, sure. You cops are very good that way. Hey, Lieutenant, one of the bellboys told me about this Mrs. Fowler. He says she's that rich old dame from Oklahoma.
Rich is right. Some coincidence you having the room right next door, eh?
So help me, that's all it is, a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. But you may as well get undressed, Potts. Go to bed.
You mean I gotta stay, huh?
Till further notice. Let's go, Sergeant.
Okay.
Alan, go down to the lobby and see what you can learn from staff.
Right.
When you're finished, come back up. I'll be questioning the other guests on this floor. I'm sorry to disturb you at this hour, miss, but I'm talking to all the guests on this floor.
Oh, that's okay, Lieutenant. I couldn't sleep anyway. Imagine being this close to a murder.
Your name and home address, please.
Rose Clark. I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
What are you doing in this city, Miss Clark?
Oh, I came to buy clothes. I do that every year. Say, is the dead man really that Tony Fowler like the maid told me?
Yes. Did you know him?
Me? Gosh, no. But I read about those two in the paper. I was absolutely fascinated. Imagine her being 25 years older.
Yes. Miss Clark, this room of yours is directly across the court from the room where the murder was committed.
I know, Lieutenant. Gives me goosebumps.
From this window, you have a direct view into that room. I was wondering whether you heard anything or saw anything.
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I did. But I don't suppose it means anything.
Tell me about it anyway.
Well, it was, maybe 11:30. I was at this window looking up to see if the stars were out. That's when I saw this woman. She was at the window over there throwing something out. When I heard it smash down in the courtyard, I knew it was something made of glass. So maybe it was a whiskey bottle.
Do you think this woman was Mrs. Fowler?
Golly, I wouldn't know. It was too dark. I could just see her outline, that's all. Lieutenant, is it true what the paper said about Mrs. Fowler? Does she really have a suitcase full of money?
Well, Miss Clark, the newspaper said a lot of things that,
Lieutenant, it's me.
Come in, Sergeant.
The maid told me you were in this room. Oh, excuse me, miss.
Certainly.
I think I found the murder weapon, Lieutenant.
Yes?
Somebody reported hearing a crash down in the courtyard around the murder time. I went out just now and looked. It was the lamp, just like you figured.
Anything on it?
Blood, all over the metal base. That's all that's left of the lamp. The glass is in a million pieces, not a chance of any fingerprints.
Hmm. Is Mrs. Fowler settled in her new room?
Yeah, 907.
I think we'd better talk to her again. Well, thanks a lot, Miss Clark. I hope you can get some sleep now.
I'll try, Lieutenant. Good night.
Now, Mrs. Fowler, let's have the truth about you and your husband.
The truth? What do you mean?
The man who had the room next to yours said he heard you having a loud argument. Told us he had to knock on the wall.
No, he must be wrong.
Mrs. Fowler, I asked for the truth.
All right. Tony and I did disagree. But it wasn't about anything important. It was just about the play we'd seen.
I see. Why did you throw the lamp out the window?
Throw the lamp out of the window? I don't know what you're talking about.
You deny doing it?
Of course.
Now about your hand. Did you really cut it when you were gathering up the pieces of the water glass?
Yes. What are you men trying to do to me?
Get the truth. You weren't straight with us about arguing with your husband before he was killed.
Well, I was ashamed to tell you about that. You suspect me, don't you? You really suspect me of murdering Tony?
If your suitcase full of money were missing, we wouldn't suspect you half as much.
But one of my suitcases is missing.
What?
I didn't know it till they moved me into this room. It was a duplicate of the case with the money in it.
Well, what's in the suitcase you claim is missing?
Well, some of my clothing. Suits, sweaters, and shoes. You don't believe that it's missing.
We'll have to take your word for it.
Well, why should I lie to you?
Maybe to get a burglary motive into the case.
But I'm not lying.
Well, I hope not. All right, Alan, let's get out of here. I imagine Mrs. Fowler would like a little time alone to do some thinking.
Hey, let me alone. Let go of my arm.
Quiet down, Pot. You'll wake everybody in the hotel.
What's the idea, you two cops grabbing me like this?
I told you to go to bed. Instead, we find you walking around the hall. Now, let's get back to your room.
Okay, don't drag me like a drunk. I'm sober and I'm walking.
What's the idea, you prowling around?
I was getting stir-crazy in my room. Just one little thin wall between me and where that guy was murdered. It was spooky. I was getting tense. I had to come out and walk around the hall so I wouldn't flip my wig.
How long you been out of your room, Potts?
10, maybe 15 minutes.
Okay, here's your room. Al and I are going to put you to bed.
Look, you cops don't have to come in. I can put myself to bed. I've been doing it for decades.
We're coming in. We want to make sure... Potts, where did that come from?
Where'd what come from, Lieutenant?
The suitcase at the foot of the bed. Open it, Alan.
Hey, that ain't mine.
I'll say it isn't. Mrs. Fowler's, Lieutenant. Her initials are on it.
It's a duplicate of the one she had the money in.
Yeah, let's see what's in here. Suits. Sweaters. Shoes, just like she said. Well, Potts, start talking.
Hey, look, this was planted on me. It was planted in my room when I was out pacing the hall.
Maybe so. Now, suppose you go to bed and stay there. And don't try to get out of this room, because I'm going to have a patrolman stationed outside your door.
Okay, Lieutenant, but this is going to be a night of positive terror.
Alan, we'll go back to headquarters now. I want you to take this suitcase to the crime lab and have it examined for fingerprints.
Mrs. Fowler.
One moment, please.
You are Mrs. Fowler?
Yes.
My name is Rose Clark. I'm also a guest in the hotel. May I come in and talk to you?
Of course.
I know it's almost 2:30, but I couldn't sleep. And after your terrible tragedy, I'm sure you can't either.
Oh, no, Miss Clark. Of course I can't.
I thought maybe there was some way I could comfort you.
Oh, that's very thoughtful of you. I've just been sitting here thinking of my poor husband.
I know, Mrs. Fowler. I was thinking of Tony myself.
You knew him?
I knew him rather well. You know, I said maybe there was some way I could comfort you. But you could comfort me even more.
How, Miss Clark?
By giving me the suitcase. You heard me. I want that suitcase. The one with the money in it. Where is it?
Are you a thief?
Never mind that. Where is it?
Please!
Don't scream. You hear me, old woman? Now, don't you make a sound. Where is that suitcase full of money?
I haven't got it. Those policemen took it.
You're lying.
It's true. They put it in the hotel vault.
Okay. We'll get it out of the vault. Pick up that phone. Tell the night clerk to get it out of the vault and bring it up here.
No.
Do as I say.
Oh, stop that. Please. I can't stand it.
Very few people can, especially old ones like you. So stop kidding yourself, lady. Get on the phone and tell them to bring that suitcase up here. Come on. Tell them now while you can still talk.
It's 2:30 in the morning at police headquarters. Lieutenant Hogarth comes into his office, bursting with news.
Hold on to your hat, Alan.
Yeah, what cooks?
The boys and records identified the prints on the suitcase. They belong to a young woman named Ada Lasker, confidence woman.
Ada Lasker? Don't know her.
You will in a minute. The boys told me that Ada works with a con man named Buck Babson.
That's so.
I got their mug shots out of the files. This is Ada. Recognize her?
Hey, let me... Hey, this is Rose Clark.
The gal in the hotel. Now, here's a shot of her sidekick, Buck Babson. You won't recognize him, though. The only time you saw him, he was dead, with his head bashed in.
You mean Tony Fowler?
Yep. Got his prints from the morgue. Tony Fowler was really Buck Babson.
A con man taking that poor old gal for her dough, huh?
Looks that way. He and the girl were working together, but something went wrong, and he got killed. Let's get back to the hotel. I want to call Rose Clark by her right name and see what happens. Clark. Alan, see if she's in the bathroom.
Sure. Miss Clark. Not in there, Lieutenant.
Look what I found on the windowsill. Binoculars. Behind the curtain.
She had a direct view with the murder room.
Yes, she must have been watching for some signal.
Her things are still here. Where do you think she went?
Out to make another stab at getting that money. Come on, hurry.
Oh. Are you going to pick up that phone?
No, you can't make me.
Do as I say. Tell them to send that suitcase up here. Okay, Jenny, we'll try something else.
No, please.
Quiet.
Help. 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 This woman was torturing me.
She's lying.
You'll be quiet.
Alan, stay here with Mrs. Fowler. Phone for a doctor and wait till he comes.
Okay.
I'll talk to this woman outside in the hall. Come on.
Let go of my arm.
I said come on.
Look, you're going to believe that crazy old woman?
Yes.
Why?
Because you're Ada Lasker. You got a criminal record.
You're crazy.
Ada, I've got you cold. Now tell me how Buck Babson died tonight. And don't give me that look. I found out that Tony Fowler was Buck Babson. So, how did he die? Did you double-cross him?
You're so smart, why didn't you tell me?
I'll tell you part of it. You took a room across the court and watched through binoculars. Buck was to give you a signal, but you didn't wait for it. Am I right? Ada, you got to tell it sometime.
Okay, handsome. We did have a plot rigged up. Buck was the signal, and I was to go over. He left the door unlocked. He was to go down to the bar and talk to a lot of people for an alibi.
And you were to kill Mrs. Fowler, take the suitcase full of money, and leave the hotel.
Say, you are smart.
Never mind that. You did double-cross him, didn't you?
For $175,000? Certainly. Through the glasses, I saw the old girl go into the bathroom. So I went over to the room. When Buck had his back turned, I let him have it with the lamp. He sank right down without knowing what hit him.
Then what?
Well, I threw the lamp out of the window, grabbed his suitcase, and took it back to my room. Only trouble was, it was the wrong suitcase. Had clothes in it instead of money.
So later you planted that suitcase in the room of a certain Mr. Potts.
Yeah. Say, handsome, are you interested in money?
Definitely.
Well, downstairs in the vault, there's $175,000 in a suitcase. You had it put into that vault, and you can get it out. Can't you?
Sure. What did you have in mind?
Oh, a quick trip somewhere. Just you and me.
Ada, you must be a mind reader.
You mean you were thinking of a trip?
Mm-hmm. Just the two of us.
Well, what do you know? Where to?
Police headquarters.
Huh?
You'll love it there this time of year. Come on, Ada. Let's get going.
In our cast, Sergeant Allen was played by Lawson Zerbe, Jenny by Doris Rich, Rose by Kathleen Cordell, and Potts by James Monks. Official Detective is produced and directed by Wynn Wright, written by Albert G. Miller. All names of persons and places used in this program are fictitious. Any resemblance to names of actual persons, living or dead, is coincidental. Jack Irish speaking. This program came from New York.
Well, that'll just about wrap things up for today. Certainly hope you enjoyed the programs. If you'd like to contact us for more information on how to purchase the programs, give us a request for upcoming programs, or just any kind of comments you'd like whatsoever, you may do so by going to our website at otrsite.com, or you may email us at jerry@otrsite.com, or you may call area code 562-696-4387. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And this is Jerry Hendiga saying thanks a lot for listening. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you right here next week, same time, same station. Bye now.